4:35. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn featuring Kyle Mann continues on KGYM Radio, 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. First half hour in the books. We talked a little bit about the St. Louis Cardinals getting the Cardinal fans riled up and Yadier Molina's not-so-subtle jab, his second not-so-subtle jab, at manager Mike Matheny in the last 5 days, and we've even heard from the Cubs fans as well about the Cardinals, and I just look at that division right now, and I think that it affects everybody. I think it affects the Cubs, it affects the Cardinals, it affects the division race, or lack thereof, heading into August. August 1st, I can't believe we've already reached the point where we can start talking a little bit about college football. We'll talk some baseball as well moving forward. But Scott Docterman of the Land of 10 wrote a piece today. Kirk Ferentz, he wants preseason games in college football. He wants to break up the monotony of waiting for the regular season to start. He wants to get some of the young guys more reps. He wants to see preseason football, or likes the idea of seeing preseason football coming to the college game. What are your thoughts? We want to hear from you. 319-366-1600. That's our text line, but give us a call because I know that there are a lot of people texting in already making the joke about Iowa has preseason games every year against Wyoming, Iowa State, and North Texas.
Low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit, but
true.
The first thing that came to my mind when I heard this was what are the ulterior motives? And I'm not accusing Kirk or any other college football coach of having ulterior motives when they speak. Oh wait, whether good or bad, college football coaches are salesmen. That's their job.
They're marketers.
They're marketers.
Walking marketers.
They're salesmen. The first thing that I thought of was I wanted to go back to see what other programs said about Iowa and try to make sense of this whole thing. And Athlon Sports releases their preseason magazine, and Derek Young of Scout.com posted this afternoon talking about other coaches commenting on Iowa, what they'll look like this year, and where their program stands. One quote in particular kind of stood out to me, and this is coming from an anonymous assistant coach in the Big Ten. Quote, Ferentz is locked up on that deal for a reason. He's one of the most consistent coaches in America at elevating mediocre talent. They shouldn't be able to compete the way that they do. That strikes me because
it was on his headstone.
Iowa, at the beginning of every season, I think there's a reason that they want to ease themselves into the season. They have a lot of guys that haven't played college football. A lot of, like he said, I'm not going to say mediocre talent, but that's the words coming from another coach in the Big Ten. And many times at the beginning of the season, they're just not ready to play the big-time teams, at least in Kirk Ferentz's mind. So what you said earlier, Kyle, he wants to have more games that either A, are winnable, or B, don't matter, to get some game-time reps for his players. That's his ulterior motive, is it not?
I would have to agree. I think there is good and bad here. My initial reaction after we kind of just read the headline and talked about this morning, I had a different reaction after I read the article, because at least the points that he's making are that he wants to break up the monotony, and he's kind of just worried that things are going to get boring. Boredom will set in for the players, I think, is what he said. And that, like, that's good. That's great. Like he wants his practices to be efficient. But I did have another thought. Let me ask you this. Do you think a guy like PJ Fleck is ever worried about his own practices becoming monotonous, or that he has to make sure his practices are energized enough. Do you think that that's a concern that crosses PJ Fleck's mind?
That is a great question. Probably not, because I think that that's kind of his deal. And I'm not going to say one style of coaching is better than the other, because
right.
clearly Kirk Ferentz has succeeded
success.
And sustained his way of coaching.
Sure.
But that is an interesting question. I think back to last year, and I've talked about this, and I hate using this as an example, but my younger brother plays college football, and he plays at the University of Memphis, and they went through a coaching change last year, and I saw them in week one playing Southeast Missouri State, and the offense looked terrible, just terrible. I had never seen them look as bad as they looked in that game. They win that game 35-17. By the end of the year, they were one of the top 25 offenses in college football. And I asked Gabe, why did you guys look so bad in week one? And he said, we had never run our offense against another team. We ran against ourselves in practice all the time, and we didn't know what the look was going to be like playing another team. And because of that, they looked awful. So I think that it would be very beneficial for these preseason scrimmages, games. People are talking about injuries on the text line, and definitely for good reason.
That's part of
but it. But you don't have to play your starters all that often. I think this is more for red shirts.
I think so, too.
I think this is more for the young guys to get game time reps, which is something that you can't duplicate in practice. So like I said, Andrew and Ely has been waiting patiently on the phone line. You can follow him, 319-366-1600. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just going to comment from an injury standpoint. I know the NFL has been debating their preseasons, and with the head injuries and the CTE and that kind of stuff, I just think it's probably going the wrong direction to have additional games in college. At what point is college also going to have some liability for some of these, you know, additional long-term injuries? I'll hang up.
Thanks, Andrew. And you can follow him, like I said, 319-366-1600. And yeah, that's going to be one of the biggest drawbacks, the biggest arguments against adding more games.
Yeah.
It's very clear. The question I have, I think that's a valid point. In camp, they're hitting anyways. The physicality of these fall camps, I've been around a few of them. The injuries, the collisions, they're happening anyways. And we'll get to some of these texts on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 319-366-1600. Marcus and Marion, I love the idea of preseason games or even a scrimmage-type format. Gives you a chance to play some of the younger guys and gives you an idea of what they can do. Ryan and Walford, look at the history. We struggled with FCS schools in our non-conference schedule. Last year, the Hawkeyes lost to North Dakota State and then beat Michigan. They tend to play their best football during Big Ten play. If Iowa had a few preseason games to gear up, maybe they would schedule more FBS opponents in the non-conference. They use their non-conference games to get ready for the Big Ten. It makes complete sense to play preseason games for a program like Iowa. And that's the point right there, Ryan.
Yeah.
I think Kirk Ferentz is clearly in agreement with you on the preseason. The non-conference is clearly a tune-up, or not necessarily a tune-up. It's developmental time. You talk about camp, you talk about during the fall when some of these younger players go and play on the scout team. That's not exactly from the time you start preseason camp to the time you're playing, it's 30 something days. And with the lack of two-a-days now, the legislation that two-a-days aren't taking place, and then now throwing in the wrinkle that you have to have one off day per week during camp, it makes it a little bit tougher to develop. And then, like I said, you can't simulate the intensity of game time reps and until you experience them. And for a team like Iowa, especially with the way that the cycle goes for this football program, freshman and sophomore years for some of these players, for a lot of these players, aren't exactly productive years. If they're, even if they are on the field, you see these guys playing their best as juniors and seniors. So maybe a couple of games to simulate what the Big Ten or what college football may look like may help. Brandon in Cedar Rapids has been waiting patiently. Brandon, go ahead.
Yeah, guys, you know, I'm all for like a preseason game or some kind of scrimmage. You know, like I remember back in high school, we would have like joint practice and then have like a Gatorade Bowl or something like that to where we would have some kind of scrimmage game against another team. And then I know like NFL teams used to do that. I don't know if they still do that anymore, but that'd be something that would be productive. You know, get to know and get some in-game playing time, get those younger guys to feel, just not just for Iowa, but a lot of teams all across the country, I think would just be beneficial.
Thank you. I agree with you, Brandon. The one drawback that the teams at the top will have is I think this slightly takes away the advantage of some of the better teams in college football because those teams are ready to play. Those teams have the depth to play in week one. Alabama can play whoever they want in week one and be ready.
Exactly, and that kind of relates to my initial reaction to this whole thing is, you know, the discussion around Iowa's schedule recently has been, can Iowa please schedule somebody a little bit more difficult towards the beginning of a year? And we got a little note from Mark Morehouse last week in Chicago that Iowa may have tried to maneuver out of an Iowa State game so that they could, you know, schedule somebody different. And that was kind of exciting at the time. And then this today, I think Kirk's point about wanting his practices to be efficient is good and wanting to break up monotony and all that, that's great. But what this story here today tells me, and I think Ryan from Walford nailed it. What I think this tells us is that Kirk's coaching style is to accept that his team's not ready early in the year. And if that's the reality, Iowa is never going to schedule a tough opponent week one. And, you know, it makes me think that we're never going to see Iowa, you know, come out and play a big opponent early in the year and put themselves on a national stage.
I think that is, it's pretty clear to me that it's a big worry for Kirk because he knows the type of player that he recruits. And I go back to this quote right here, and I'll read it once again in case you missed it. Ferentz is locked up on that deal for a reason. He's one of the most consistent coaches in America at elevating mediocre talent. They shouldn't be able to compete the way that they do. And Ryan and Walford brought up this fact. They play their best football in October after the experience kind of sets in and they're able to get over the initial shock of being out on the field in front of 70,000 people playing against the level of talent that is consistently put out on Big Ten fields across the Midwest and across the country. That's why I think they've struggled a little bit in the non-conference. They've lost to some teams that fans would rather them not lose to. You look at North Dakota State last year, and they go out in October or November and beat Michigan. There was a time last year they were 5-4, and a lot of people thought after that Penn State game that they might not make a bowl game. They turned things around. And they went out during the regular season, then lose in the bowl game. So I think this is the one question that I have. I would be interested in it. Would you be interested in watching a preseason college football game on TV? Would you be interested in going to a preseason college football game, especially since, and I think this would be a given, they couldn't charge the same amount that they would for a regular season game. Pay $5, get in the door, go see Iowa play, whether it's you and I or Illinois State, or they go out and play another Power 5 team during the preseason to kind of test themselves. We'll get to that. We'll get to your texts. We'll get to your calls. But we're overdue for a break. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Kyle's going to give you your second Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. And we're going to head to hour number two, where we'll chat with Howard Balzer about a Cedar Rapids native heading to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. More on the way after this.